You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Today I'm joined by Joe Mewis, Leeds United editor at Leeds Live. How are you, Joe?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Ash. How are you doing?
Well, I'm flying, mate. Obviously, Villa 4-4. Title's coming. So, excited, as you know.
Got that in early, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So, make sure. But how's things been with Leeds? A couple of 4-3s, a couple of entertaining games. And they were just knocked down a peg against Wolves at the start of the week.
Yeah, it's been a really, you know, exciting, fun start to the season. As you say, the 4-3s going to Anfield and just coming up short there. A couple of really good wins against Fulham, Sheffield United, and they went toe-to-toe with Man City as well for a 1-1 draw. Bit of a shame that the manner of the Wolves defeat, you know, it was a close game. Leeds were good there, dominated for large stints, but ultimately undone by a deflected goal and a bit of probably Premier League sort of nous from Wolves at the end. Mm. But, you know, 10th in the table as a newly promoted side. It's, early days yet, but I don't think there's too many sort of, you know, causes for complaint at Leeds United really at the moment.
No, I mean, what's been the secret to success? It's just that surprise element. You catch it by surprise.
I think so. I think it's Marcelo Bielsa's, method. Leeds, I'd say, are the fittest team in the Premier League. You know, they were in the Championship the last two seasons. And I think that's really showing again this year. The way that they've managed to just really sort of carry on the momentum from the end of the Championship season, where they were really hitting stride post-lockdown. You know, they went on a really good run there. You know, the title was sewn up, you know, relatively easy. You know, they romped it as Adam Forshaw predicted they would. And they've managed to keep this upward trajectory going in the Premier League. You know, they have surprised a few people, I think, given, you know, they haven't changed their tactics, that they're still going for it. You look at the amount of players they get in the opposition half when they're attacking. You know, I think it's certainly, you know, dumbfounded quite a few teams. So it's all been good so far, really.
And certainly no Calvin Phillips on Friday, which is a big boost for Villa. He's a pivotal for Leeds, hasn't he, under Bielsa? Just how big a blow will that be?
Yeah, it's a real shame that. You know, you've got a feel for Calvin at the moment. You know, he's just broken into the England team. You know, I think he was on 4 caps there. Started really well in the Premier League. You know, again, like so many of the Leeds players, just no Premier League experience, but they've come in. They've got this trust in Bielsa's system. They've got the work rate, the fitness, and it's allowed them to just sort of keep on going up. He will be missed. Tactically, you know, he's so important in the way Bielsa sets up his system. You know, he sits there in front of the defence. You know, he's so mobile. He gets across the back. He'll break up attacks and get them started. You know, his diagonal balls out to the flanks where Leeds concentrate a lot of their play are so crucial. And, you know, he's probably been the poster child of the Bielsa, you know, revolution, as it were. So, he's going to be a really big miss. It's looking like Pascal Stroik's going to come in and replace him. There was a few doubts about his fitness because he was subbed off against Wolves. But Bielsa yesterday in his press conference said he'll be replacing Calvin. So hopefully it's all good on that front. There will be a drop-off. But I think Bielsa has a lot of confidence in Stroik. You know, he's one of these players that did really well at the end of last season. Post-lockdown, he came in, deputised for Phillips. And did look the part. He's had a couple of games in the Premier League already. That was in defence when he's been covering for Liam Cooper at the back in the first game and the last game. So I don't think he'll be overawed by it, certainly. You know, Bielsa has his players so ready, so honed, so trained. When they are dropped into the first team, you know, they know exactly what to do. And, you know, you don't get anyone overawed. You don't get anyone, you know, have the occasion bigger than them. So, yeah, we all want to see Calvin there, but I'm sure Bielsa will be confident that Stroik can do a job.
Yeah, I mean, if Dean Smith will have his debrief or his match analysis now. So what one Leeds player will he be looking at? Or will it be a number of players that will be the biggest threat for Villa on Friday?
Yeah, Yeah, I think certainly with Leeds, a lot of the time it is the collective, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they don't have a 30-goal striker, for instance, you know. You look at Rodrigo, the summer signing, Rodrigo Moreno, who arrived from Valencia in the summer. He's really sort of getting his teeth into it now. Often when Bielsa brings a player in, they do take a bit of time to adapt. They have to get up to his fitness levels. You know, they have to get attuned to sort of the really precise drills they do in training. You know, there's a lot of runs, muscle memory, all that sort of thing, which does take a bit of time to adapt. But, you know, Leeds were able to go and recruit this sort of higher level of player in the summer. And I think we're seeing a much quicker adaptation because of the quality we're able to bring in. He's been really good, sort of improving every week.
Yep.
He came off the bench against Man City and he was great. He got his first goal there, really went out the City defence. And yeah, he's been improving every week. So expecting him to sort of play in that number 10 role. We've now got Pablo Hernandez fit as well. I think it's one or the other from those. And
bit of a legend, isn't he, Pablo?
He is, yeah, totally. You know, he has struggled a bit with injuries of late. You know, he had to be sort of quite carefully stage managed at the end of last season with a hamstring problem. He's had a groin injury this season, so you know it's going to be limited the amount of time he's given. But you know, he's been another fantastic player, a bit of a talisman under Bielsa. So he's a danger from the bench, certainly. Who else you got there? Mateusz Klich always gives a good game in the middle. He'll do a lot of running, a lot of pressing. You know, if you see space in front of
him. Klich from the.
I was going to say, yeah. That's right. he needs no introduction after all that.
Please thank the fans out there on Friday.
Yeah, I think he may get a few boos, wouldn't he, if there was a few fans in there. But, you know, he's another of these players, and I'm repeating myself again here, who've just come in with no Premier League experience, stepped up to the plate. You know, Luke Ayling's another like that. So it is the collective, you know, and it's very much a side in Bielsa's image.
Yeah, that collective you talked about there, that mirrors what Villa are doing as well under Dean Smith. I mean, Bielsa and Smith are quite similar characters. They get the tune out of every member of their playing squad, whether they're playing or not playing, and players are coming in and performing. But Villa have got that added bit of a spark as well. Ross Barkley's on form of late. He should be fine after shaking up a knee injury. And Jack Grealish, I mean, just in the form of his life at the moment. 13 chances created from open play, 4 more than any player in the Premier League. So Leeds have to be wary of him. I think Leeds know all about him. I think Calvin Phillips is a big, big, big miss as far as Grealish is concerned, because he had his number a few times in the Championship, didn't he? So got to keep tabs on Villa's main man there for me. Well, yeah, I've had a couple of comments coming from the Villa fans saying, have Villa ever won 5 in a row at the start of the season before? Because 4 on the spin's the first time in 90 years. But no, they haven't. So I've had a look at that. They haven't done that. So even the draw against Leeds on Friday with Tech Villa top of the league, which Smith was asked about on his press conference. Does it mean anything? Obviously, so early in the year. But of course, it does mean something significant. You're doing something right. So, yeah, Villa going to it full of confidence. I think Leeds will be looking to spring a surprise. Smith was full of praise for Leeds. It's got to be said as well. He did mention that, Joe, that saying fittest team in the league by far, So I think Villa will have it tricky. Won't be straightforward. Won't be a straightforward home win compared to the last one is Liverpool, which was quite straightforward. Is Liam Cooper going to be all right, or is he looking to be?
He's the big question mark, really. So he picked up a groin injury on the international break, and he was named in the starting 11 for the Wolves match, which was a pleasant surprise, really. But pulled out in the warm up, so that was only on Monday night. So they've obviously only had sort of, this is, you know, the third day since then, a short week. I would say he's probably not going to make it. Should Leeds be risking their captain, who's obviously got this niggling problem? So he probably won't, and that will mean we'll see a bit of a reshuffle at the back, to be honest, because Pascal Struijk would be the man to normally come in and replace him, but he's going to be needed in that Phillips role. So I dare say what we'll see is Luke Ayling move from right back across into the middle, and then a bit of a shuffle on the fullbacks, Dallas over to right back, probably Jani Jelioski at left back, which, again, far from ideal, but Ayling's played there before. I think he'll be able to have every confidence in him. You'll lose a bit of his work rate down the channels. You know, that's been one of the things. You know, he's been so good getting forward. You know, the work rate he puts in is astonishing. You know, the sprints right at the end of the game, he's getting forward and getting back again. So that'll be interesting. Also be interesting to see, obviously, coming up against Ollie Watkins. I was going to ask you how he's settling in. Obviously, he had a decent game against Liverpool, as did the whole team there. But Ollie Watkins is a striker Leeds know pretty well from last year with Brentford and everything. Leeds even linked with him in the summer. So, yeah, I was going to ask how he's been settling in really this year and how weary Leeds should be of him.
Pretty seamless. Obviously, I haven't seen his hat-trick against Liverpool. I'll give Liverpool defence a tiry time there. But just his all-round work right again, some Leeds fans will know all about work right. Yeah. Gives Villa another dimension. He's prepared to run the channels, prepared to do anything. All the doggy runs, we call them, and just getting in behind and dropping deep, doing literally everything. Smith made a big point about that. Once Villa lose the ball, they get 10 men behind the ball straight away. Watkins is very much a part of that as well. So, yeah, he had a quiet game against Leicester on Sunday. I think he took a whack to his ankle early on for me. I did notice he was hobbling around for a while, which affected his game, but. Yeah, against Leeds on Friday, I think he'll get more chances. I mean Leeds play at high octane pace, and I think he'll get a few more chances than what Leicester provided for him. So, yeah, I mean he's got everything for me. People question the price tag, £28 million. It's a long term investment. He's 24, in the form of his life, getting a banging form striker as well. He's already off the mark in the Premier League. He's got 5 goals already in all comps. So. Yeah, no brainer. I think he's Deeds' number one striker for the season ahead. The only concern Villa fans have got is if he gets injured, because not much in reserve. Young rookie Keenan Davies on the bench. He'll come back from injury on Friday, and then they've got Bertrand Traoré. So there's just three players there, and Traoré is more of a winger. So that's a bit of an issue for Villa if Watkins does get injured. But I think he's robust enough. He's not never had a big injury. Touch wood. So. Yeah, I think Leeds will know all about him on Friday. He'll give lots of Ayling and co. He won't give him a minute's peace. So, yeah, that's a battle I'm looking forward to seeing, how Watkins can bounce back after a quiet game. And I think Leeds, the way they play, the style of play, I think I'm expecting goals on Friday. I really am, and both teams. So, yeah, excited about that one.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there will be goals. You know, I was quite surprised the Wolves game was only 1-0 in the end. They've for the neutral Leeds games this season have been brilliant. Like, I guess it's similar with Villa, you know, chucking in results like 7-2 against Liverpool. It's it should be a thrill. It's just a shame not too many people will be watching it because of the pay-per-view issue, I guess, really.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a bit of history between Leeds and Villa. Would there any spice there between any of the players?
The
gift goal and whatnot.
Yeah, you spoke about the last time they met, which obviously the end of that season, Villa were promoted. Yeah. You know, that issue came up again in Bielsa's press conference at the end of it this week. You know, it's never going to be forgotten, really. Leeds fans like to remind everyone that Bielsa got issued the FIFA Fair Play Award for that. So there'll be a bit of a needle there, won't they? You know, I think Mateusz Kličić will probably be on the end of that. Kličić is one of those players who's got the really good knack of knowing just how much to wind the opposition up.
Yeah.
So without getting in trouble from the referee. So, you know, there could well be a bit of needle from Kličić, but he's smart enough to roll it back when it matters, which is quite a good little underrated skill there, I think.
Yeah. A wind-up merchant. Yeah. What's the system Leeds play then? Is it 4-4-1-1, is it, or something like that?
Yeah, so it's nominally a 4-1-4-1.
Yeah.
Obviously, the ones, you've got Calvin Phillips usually sat in that role. He won't be there on Friday, obviously. And then they play the lone striker, which is still Patrick Bamford. You know, he had a really good start to the season, 3 goals in his first 3 games. You know, he'll have a player behind him, which is probably going to be Rodrigo this time. And Leeds put a lot of emphasis on the wide players. So we're expecting Helder Costa, who Villa fans probably remember from his Wolves days. And Jack Harrison on the flanks there. They do have some more options now. They brought in Rafinha on transfer deadline day. 23-year-old Brazilian winger who looks quite exciting. But again, as I spoke about earlier, Bielsa can obviously leave it a little while until he brings players in. So I wouldn't really be expecting him to start. It's very much, you know, Bielsa has one real system that he sticks to. He does adapt it during games. You know, he is quite fluid. If he comes up against 2 strikers, for instance, he might move to 3 at the back. But as you said earlier, you know, Villa quite limited on striker numbers. So I imagine we're only going to see one man up front there, aren't we? So I think largely we should see, this sort of 4-1-4-1 system from Leeds.
Yeah, similar to Villa, really. But Barkley usually plays in more advanced. It's 4-4-1-1 usually. They did drop in that formation against Leicester because they sussed Villa out early on, and Smith switched it around a little bit and dropped Barkley back in there. But yeah, just a word on Villa's defence as well, Joe. 3 clean sheets out of 4. Mm-hmm. So just shows how resolute they are at the back. Got a great goalkeeper now in Emi Martinez. It's an all English back 4, and they look solid. I know it's a bit of a biased view, but they're not creating any chances. The opposition teams aren't. Tyrone Mings is form of his life as well. Ezri Konsa next to him. So that'll be hard to break down for me. I don't know how you're going to penetrate that back line for me. 3 clean sheets out of 4 says it all. And I don't know what any tricks Leeds have got up the sleeve. Obviously, they can score goals, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think, the wide players is where Leeds will look to really get their success. Yeah. You know, the likes of Costa and Harrison, they play really far out wide. You know, they will try and sort of drag players out of position. And the amount of players they commit forward, especially on the break, does cause problems. Leeds' crossing against Wolves was slightly off. Jack Harrison, you know, he didn't have his finest day on that one. And it showed because there wasn't too many really good sort of clear-cut chances created. But if their wingers are on song and they're putting these balls in the box, Bamford's been in really good form this year, and he's been able to put the chances away, you know, a lot better than he did the last 2 seasons. You know, his efficiency is really, really kicked on there. And then behind him, if you've got Rodrigo, who's, you know, a proven goal scorer, he's Spain's number 9, you know, so he knows a thing or two about how to score. And Klitsch as well, you know, he's where sort of the long range efforts come from. A lot of the time Leeds will just try and get down those flanks and just get cross after cross after cross in. And, if you're putting, 20 good crosses in a game, you're going to convert a few chances, aren't you? So that's sort of like the attacking philosophy I think we'll see tomorrow night.
Yeah, Villa have Matt Target and Matty Cash at fullbacks. And they're 2 players they like to get high as well. So you could exploit the gaps they leave on the break. Yeah. So that'd be something I'd be wary about. Regarding Leeds, who will Leeds be most fearful of, other than Jack Grealish, obviously? Any other players that stand out you have to be wary of, do you reckon? McGinn's back to form as well.
Yeah, obviously Grealish is the big one there. Because coming up, Pascal Struijk sat there in the defensive midfield role, he'll probably be up against Barkley. And I think that could be an interesting clash there. Ross Barkley, he was on loan at Leeds way, way back in the day. Had a terrible time of it under Neil Warnock. Didn't Warnock's long ball football. I think he just spent matches watching it go over his head. He went off the fondest memories of his time at Elland Road. But yeah, I think given the form he's in, you know, I've always kept an eye out for him. I think he's a quality player. As you say, the fullback's getting forward as well. Matty Cash was someone Leeds came up against last season, obviously. And I think he'll be a danger because, you know, Leeds do like to commit men forwards. And if they have the fullbacks that push forwards, again, there'll be space there, especially against a back line that's maybe is a bit unfamiliar, you know, a couple of players swapping positions and over. So I think that's probably where the main threats would lie.
I spoke to Smith yesterday. He said, very complimentary of Leeds, as I've said. He sent Marcel Bielsa a text message after he got promoted as well. And he says Leeds will win more games than they'll lose this season. So he's backing them to have a really good season, which says a lot. So do you echo them thoughts as well?
I think so, yeah. It's obviously not going to be plain sailing. But I think the early signs are that they're not going to be dragged into a relegation fight straight away. Which is promising, especially that they do have a very sort of tough schedule over Easter and everything. So, you know, they'll definitely want to get lots of points banked. But the way they've started the league this year, you know, no fear. They've played, you know, 2 of the best Premier League teams in recent years, haven't they? In Liverpool and Man City. You know, look at how those two have gone sort of, you know, toe-to-toe the last couple of years. They've showed no fear at all. They've not changed their game to adapt it, you know, and it's worked. Admittedly, they only got a point out of those two, but certainly, you know, the performance level was excellent. And, you know, it's games like the Fulham games, the Sheffield United games, where they've picked up these points. Yeah, you'd like to think relegation shouldn't be something too much to worry about. 10th at the moment in the table, which it's early days, obviously, but it's probably quite a fair reflection, I think, of where Leeds are at right now.
I spoke to Smith yesterday as well about Calvin Phillips' interest last summer. So, lucky Villa. They didn't pursue the deal in the end. Keeping hold of your man, and just how important has he been since that?
It's huge, actually. So something Angus Kinnear spoke about shortly after Leeds got promoted in the summer, and he was saying how you know, they didn't feel they could really stand in Phillips's way if he wanted to play Premier League football. And they said, I think it was Kinnear's words, that he turned down some offers which just financially made no sense at all. You know, so the offers were certainly there for Phillips to go, but he's thought, you know, this is my boyhood club. You know, I'm right in the thick of this. I'm, you know, a key player in it. Bielsa's coming back for another year. Let's do it. And he stayed with it. And yeah, quickly forgotten about all the summer transfer stuff. And he was so important for them last year. You know, and it's really great to see, because the way he's come through at Elland Road, you know, came through as a promising young player, was a bit of a in and out of the team, never really had a settled role, you know, played a lot more advanced a lot of the time. You know, and he was just turning into one of these sort of solid but not remarkable academy products. But Bielsa transformed him completely. You know, I think it's thanks to Bielsa that he's in the England team now. And it's been good to see Southgate stick with him over, you know, the last couple of squads and everything, and give him plenty of opportunities. You know, he's probably going to miss the next round of internationals with the shoulder injury, which is a shame. Delighted for Calvin. I think, yeah, he won't regret his decision last summer at all to stay with the club, because certainly his last, you know, professionally, his last sort of 3 to 6 months have been, you know, a life highlight really for him, haven't they?
Yep, they have. I'm going to put you on the spot then, Joe. Prediction for Friday. Away win, no guessing.
Yeah, go on then. I'll get my optimistic hat on. There'll be goals, as you say. Let's say let's have a 3-2 thriller with the Leeds coming up trumps. What about you?
You won 3-2 last time at Villa Park. Remember, Kemar Roofe, 95th minute.
Oh, that was a good last game, time. Wasn't it? That was just before Christmas, wasn't it? And
2-0 up.
2-0 at half time with two very, very late goals. Yeah, Roofe winner.
Jack Clark, come on, just charge a guy.
Yeah, one. He did, didn't he? He scored, right. I think, didn't he? He cut in and shot. Yeah. But yeah, that was some finish. And then, Leeds did it again the next game on Boxing Day. They came back and won 3-2 in stoppage time as well. So, pardon?
It's never dull between the two sides, to be fair.
No, not at all. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it, as well? Because, you know, historically, it's not a big rivalry, is it? You know,
no.
Villa, they've got City on their doorstep and everything.
Yeah.
You know, they've got these really established local rivals. But it does feel like this is a growing rivalry. You know, you've got these spicy games recently. You know, certainly the fans like to needle each other. You know, the Phillips Grealish debates that go on and everything, don't they?
Definitely.
You know, so yeah, it's the seeds do feel like they're being sown for a bit of like a new rivalry, don't they? Really?
Yeah. The two Premier League pretenders, which is good to see. I think we'll leave it there then, Joe. Great catching up. I'll see you Friday.
Well, you'll see Baron Cross actually. He's there for us. Unfortunately, we're still, it's this Premier League rule where only one of us is allowed to go to games at the moment.
That's right.
So Baron's coming down. So yeah, you'll see him, and maybe you can jump on a camera with him for a little bit at Villa Park, perhaps.
Great stuff. Nice one for joining everyone as well. Cool. And enjoy the game Friday.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa.